Well, the Senate is set to vote on that bipartisan infrastructure bill as soon as this weekend, potentially. That $1 trillion bill dramatically scales back some key climate initiatives that were included in President Biden's initial plan. But it does include more than $150 billion to boost clean energy. Let's bring in Dan Carroll. He is Milken Institute Public Finance Program Director. We've also got Yahoo Finance's Reggie Wade joining in on the conversation. Dan, welcome. Let's talk about where things stand with the bill. And on the one hand, you could argue that it's good that things are starting to move along here, but those who are really hoping for climate to be at the center of this are certainly going to be disappointed.
Well, I think it's a very good down payment on climate, the initial bipartisan framework. There's some good stuff in there on electric grid and carbon capture and batteries and storage. But it's good that the Biden administration is taking the two-track approach, because there's lots of things that are needed in there. You know, $400 billion in tax credits for wind and solar is not in there. The electrification got cut from about $175 billion to about $7 or $8 billion, and for the auto industry, which is planning to invest heavily, you know, over $100 billion in that area to match that with core infrastructure to support the shift to electrification is important. But look, it's, you know, that we did an estimate on congressional testimony in April that we have a $17 trillion gap by 2050. That's $600 billion a year, not to numb you with numbers too much, but $150 billion for 8 years is not quite going to get there. So it's good that we have a two-track approach. So down payment, but more needed.
Dan, with some of the scale backs on the climate initiatives, what do you think about investors who are looking to invest in a U.S. infrastructure deal? What is there in this deal out there for them?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, it's not tailwinds for investors. I would call it a light breeze at this point. I mean, you have an exciting trend where the BlackRocks and other institutionals are allocating real assets, looking for deals. But, you know, recent quotes from Larry Fink and others echoing a real problem, which is there's not that many good deals. One of the things that we've been pushing is this idea of a pre-development fund to support deal flow. You know, only the public sector will do the work to take a kind of a good idea and turn it into an investable project. And whether it's 2 million, 10 million, 100 million, or utility scale, European Investment Bank, the Canadian Infrastructure Bank have been setting aside, you know, 5% or more for essentially equity risk capital. There's lots of low cost debt out there, but equity risk capital to develop these projects. So we're hoping to have investors lean in more to get that second round of work in this area. And Senator Markey last week introduced a $15 billion pre-development investment bill, which we think has a real good, could be a real good deal starter and pipeline builder for investors to get into this space.
Dan, let's talk more about some of these investments that are necessary to get the U.S. to that goal of net zero by 2050. We heard the president yesterday unveil a plan to basically say, look, by 2030, all new car sales or 50% of new car sales will need to be electric vehicles. He's obviously gotten a lot of support from the industry, too. And yet, when you look at where things stand right now, we're talking single digits in terms of market share for these EVs. What do you make of this plan and how realistic it is in trying to set that goal?
Right. Well, you know, we all know the hockey stick graph. So I think we're at an early phase where the deployment shifts that we need to make for more resilient infrastructure in key sectors for electrification and autos. This is the, I think if I have any critique of the bill, and that's why I'm glad for the two-step approach with reconciliation, you know, we need more funding for resilience. I mean, we should be spending half of our infrastructure bill on seawalls, desals, natural infrastructure, food systems. As I mentioned, for community scale infrastructure, charging stations and other things like that, we need to make sure that there's deployment dollars so that communities can figure out how to take a good idea and actually make it happen. Community emergency centers, as we see the wildfires happening everywhere or floods or hurricanes, as well as funding for utilities to be able to bury lines, whether from hurricanes or wildfires. All of these investments right now are sort of the infrastructure of infrastructure. So I think that I think we will reach these goals, but I think we've got to kind of get through this early period.
Dan, I would love a critique on how you think the Biden administration has done at selling this bill and selling the American people on the need for infrastructure.
Well, I guess, you know, I would say the critique is both for the Biden administration as much for Congress on a bipartisan basis. I know that there's, and I say this as a last millennium young analyst at the Congressional Budget Office, but we have these arcane pay-for rules that are not very dynamic. And you look at infrastructure, these are investments across the board, roads, bridges, broadband, renewable, that will more than pay for themselves in economic growth, in avoided costs, you name it. So, you know, the fact that we're looking for pay-fors on something that's going to jumpstart our economy is at some level, you know, it's very frustrating. We have these arcane rules, but, you know, if you were a factory and you had a ton of factory orders, but your boiler went out, you wouldn't cut your truck delivery fleet, you would get a loan. So we have a lot of low-cost financing. I think we need a little bit more juicing of the pipeline with this de-risking pre-development dollars that we've been talking about. And I think, you know, again, there's going to be a debate about the budget deficit and what we can sustain. But when you're talking about life cycle investments, capital investments meant to last 30 or 40 years, like more, you know, a mortgage on your house, I think with, you know, I'd love the debate to be more about the life cycle value and benefit of infrastructure rather than its cost.
Dan Carroll, Milken Institute Public Finance Director, alongside Yahoo Finance's Reggie Wade. Appreciate you both for the conversation there.